All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. I've got a really exciting, well, I hope it's exciting. It might be boring, but I think it's exciting episode plan for you guys. But before we start with that, I do have some exciting news. I've finally been accepted to Spotify. I'm not sure when this happened, but I was on my analytics yesterday and I saw Spotify down at the bottom.
Great.
And I was like, when did this happen? They didn't even like notify me or anything. So I'm not sure how long it's been up there, but I know I requested to be on Spotify like back in like April or May or something. So it took a while, but we're up. Back up on iTunes. I fixed that. It was a ridiculously long process. I've been working on it since summer, but
good for you.
I like accidentally somehow ended up uploading like 13 episodes of the same episode, and I figured out why that happened, and so I had to go through and fix it, and it took a while, but
once you start on something, you have to plow through it.
Yeah. And then you can only do so much each month, like so much like data or something each month. So I could only do like a few episodes every month. I finally caught up. So I got that figured out. And then what was it? I had some other exciting news too.
You got most of your Christmas shopping done?
Yeah, I got a big chunk of it done. I went to the mall the day after Black Friday. Craziness. Mm-hmm. And that was good. I love Christmas.
I know, that's your favorite holiday.
Yeah. I just like to get things for people and wrap them up. I like the surprise factor of the holiday. Yeah. Because nobody knows what they're getting. It's always great.
How do you do on Thanksgiving? I know that's not your...
I hate Thanksgiving.
You hate Thanksgiving. I hate Thanksgiving. But did you have turkey or... Well, you don't eat meat. So, I mean, like tofu turkey?
No. I had like a few bites of mashed potatoes and like two pieces of penne.
Okay.
Some cheese and crackers.
All right.
I did have a slice of pie. I may have had two, but...
You know, I don't. We'll get into this after the show because I want to find out what you really eat. I mean, I picture you now after saying that as like Yule Gibbons going out and chewing a piece of tree bark. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't really like Thanksgiving food too much. Right. So yeah, I made a penne alla vodka. It was really good. I spent 2 hours making the sauce. It's so good, though. It's all homemade and everything.
Yeah.
And I may have, like, ate half the sauce while I was making it. That may have happened. But, yeah, I made, I think, 2 pounds of pasta.
Oh, well, that's good.
Penne with vodka sauce. It's my favorite sauce. So that's good. But I only had 2 bites of it at dinner.
Because you were so full of the sauce while you were making it?
No, I made the sauce the night before.
Oh.
But... Yeah, anything else happen? No, I don't think so. Okay, so hopefully this video stays up on Facebook. I have a lot of people that were interested in watching this today, and some people that are going to listen in later because they can't watch it right now. So I want to do, I want to go over the constitutional amendments. First of all, most of the people in the United States, A, have no idea anything in the Constitution besides we the people.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I think of it, I probably should have started off like a show where I read the Constitution first and then the amendments. But I prepared to do the amendments. So I think I'm going to have to do it backwards and do the amendments and then do the Constitution. Mm-hmm.
I had nothing wrong with that.
Whatever. But anyway, this is inspired by a listener of the show, a very supportive listener of the show. And his name is Coral. And he asked me a very interesting question about I think he asked me what my favorite amendments were or something like that. And I said, oh, that's a really good idea for episode. So I've been working on that, and here I have the amendments and some notes and stuff. And so first of all, I'm going to start off with my two favorite. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can probably guess what my first favorite is.
The Second Amendment?
Yeah, 2A.
Okay.
2A. I have to pick it. Just because, okay, let's read it and get the correct, legit wording. So, Amendment 2 says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. There we have it. It says it right there. Just plain and simple. Although, so I was talking to my boss and talking to him about this week's show because he had just listened to an episode the other day and gave me some feedback on it. And I told him my idea for today's show. And he came up with an interesting thought that I've never thought about before. But he was taught, I told him I was going to pick 2A, obviously, because that's super, I think it's super important to have armed citizens. Because we've all seen what happens when the government starts taking guns away. That's a sign of dictatorship rising, totalitarianship rising, and then people end up helpless. They don't have any way to protect themselves against this government and the police that are ordered by the government. So anyway, he says, well, when they wrote the Constitution, you have to think about when they were talking about arms. It was like muskets and they had cannons and stuff. And like they were just protecting your most basic, simple weapons, your guns and stuff. And today they never thought we would have the stuff we have today. And so he goes, so where does that, what does that protect? And I thought that was a really good question because it doesn't really say what it protects. I mean, it says arms. So you can take it at that literal sense and say, yes, all arms. And I think people should be allowed to have them as long as they're not violent with them, obviously. I mean, if you can handle having some kind of strange weapon in your house that nobody else, you think, like, nobody else should really have, like, a bazooka or something, mm-hmm. obviously. Why do you need it? But, I mean, if you want to have it just to have it, you should be able to have it just to have it.
Yeah.
If you're not imposing violence on anybody. I mean, that's a crazy example, but he did bring that up and say that, well, they didn't know what we were going to have today, so is that still like relevant to all arms, or are we doing the right thing by banning some arms? And I mean, I don't really have an exact answer to that besides what I think personally, because there's a lot of gray area if you don't take it literal, because I mean these are meant to be very literal, but they're also, you have to think sometimes, I mean, it really just depends who's interpreting them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be interpreted in many ways. But that's my first favorite amendment. And he also brought up another interesting question. He asked me, he goes, do you like that we can amend the Constitution? Do you think that it's necessary to be able to amend it? And I said, well, yeah, of course. Like, you got to add stuff in there and stuff. There's a lot of great amendments in here that protect a lot of great things. There's also been, I mean, the one silly one I can think of is prohibition, and we'll get into that. Like, that was just dumb. And they realize that a few amendments later. But anyway, I was like, yeah. And he says, oh, I agree with you there, because it makes the Constitution a living, breathing document that is able to be adjusted with times as things come up. And so he says, I think that's a great thing that they thought of and allowed. And I agree with that, too. So anyway, getting into things here. Oh, someone says no weapons of mass destruction allowed. That's what they said.
But, you know, I mean, we can also debate what are weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
I mean, the ones I think of are like the rapid fire, you know, the ones with the big magazine clips that you can rapid fire. But, you know, weapons of mass destruction could be a lot of weapons too, you know.
I'm not well versed in guns and stuff like that. I want to be. I just haven't done that yet. But like I said, I do think this is a very important right to make clear in writing. So we have the First Amendment, which is an absolutely great amendment because this makes it clear in writing. It obviously gives the freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, peaceful assembly, and petition of the government. So going on, Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Great amendment. That's probably the one that most people know. If you go around, I've seen a video where you go around, they went around and asked people about the Constitution and the amendments and the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments, which nobody knows. No, I'm not going to say nobody. Most people don't even know that the Bill of Rights is only 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. They just think it's all the amendments.
Right.
And the only thing they'll be able to tell you, if they can even tell you that, is freedom of speech. They'll say that. Most will say 2A, right to bear arms, and then most will say the abolition of slavery. But most people that say the abolition of slavery that can get that far usually don't know what number that is either. And I think it's important, I mean, as citizens of the United States, to know what is protected that our founders deemed the most important, which is 1 through 10, and then after that we go on to other additions. But so yeah, freedom of speech, religion, press, that's definitely important. When you take those things away, it gets very scary, just like taking guns away. We all know I always talk about 1984, but that's like my favorite thing to point to.
Yeah, I think if you take, you know, freedom of speech and that away, then you have government intrusion and imposing on what you say, and no free press. And there's examples around the world that you can cite, countries that don't have that, and look at what they're like, you know.
I have a good question here. Somebody says, Carl says, we do need to talk about what peaceably means. Is blocking a highway peaceable? I like the word peaceful, and it's really throwing me off that it's peaceably. Anyway, that was irrelevant, but I don't think blocking a highway is really, I'm just going to say peaceful. It's not peaceful. You're interrupting people's everyday lives and causing you're causing a major inconvenience to the people you're not even trying to protest to. If you're like blocking a highway to protest people want to protest, and it has nothing to do with the people driving on that road and that road in general, I don't think that should be allowed. You're inconveniencing your fellow citizens. So like I said, with 2A, there's room for interpretation. And because a lot of these things aren't exactly black and white. And so, I mean, you want to get the most close interpretation as possible. But you never know what they were actually thinking when they wrote it.
Yeah,
So that's where it can be a little hard sometimes.
Well, that's why I think you need a permit to protest.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think you can protest. I don't think anyone should stop you from protesting. But I think you need to get a permit to protest so that you will tell them, or they'll say, where are you going to protest? I mean, you can protest on any private, you know, like on sidewalks or in front of City Hall or in front of the post office or in front of a business. But if you say, well, we're going to protest on the corner of Broadway and Lake Avenue in the middle of the road, I think they have that right to deny it. Because if I am driving a car and I go down and I hit two people, and that's not my fault because they're blocking my the road is for automobiles, not for people. See, and I think you'd have a good case in court if you killed two people that they shouldn't have been there in the beginning. I think almost every place else you have the right to protest, but I really think that you need to get a permit just so that you know where people are going to be. And that you, I mean, like, let's say the city police department or whatever shouldn't have the right to stop you from protesting. They shouldn't have any say like that. But I think a permit is good in cases like that to protect the citizens that are protesting.
Well, I don't really agree with that just because it creates more legislation. It's going to be harder for people to go protest. So they got to go put the time to go get it approved to be where they want to be. And I think laws to protect dumb people mm-hmm. are kind of unnecessary. Because okay. if you think about natural selection, if you're going to go protest in the road and chance getting hit and killed, maybe we're better off without you. It's like the hot sign on a McDonald's coffee. Caution, hot. Because some dummy burned themselves on it and sued them.
Right.
So I think that would just be a waste of protesters' time, a waste of our local government's time, and would infringe on their protesting because, say, it's a pop-up protest, mm-hmm. but they can't go do that because they got to go get permission.
Like, all right. What about a protest that is legal? I mean, like on property, like city property, like sidewalks, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they see a truck go by with a Trump bumper sticker on it, and they go in and they flip the truck over. And would you say that protesters should have the right to do that because they're protesting the president?
That's violent.
Okay.
That's not really peaceful. So they should get...
arrested.
They should... Whatever is deemed just in our justice system be dealt with that way. That's definitely not peacefully protesting.
If you supported Hillary, it probably is.
Well.
No, I know.
Some people might think so, but it's not.
Okay.
It's destruction of property. That is somebody's truck. So I wouldn't count that as a peaceful protest.
Okay.
But it's my view on that. So moving on to Amendment 3, which is so silly, but it made sense when they put it in here. And it still makes sense because if we ever have like a war on our land, this makes sure that we aren't forced to quarter soldiers in our home like they war during the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it says, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So during peaceful times, during war times, you cannot forcibly quarter a soldier in somebody's house.
And but that's they did during the Civil War, didn't they? I mean, I know soldiers, unless they'd gotten approval by
they may have
the government saying that, you know, you have to help. quarter soldiers or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with quartering during the Civil War, but I do know it happened during the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. and people hated it, and this is why this is in here.
Right.
Because people that were against England were having to quarter the opposing
side. And people that were for England had to quarter British troops.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's number three. It's not too relevant right now, but it could be someday. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
You never know.
Amendment four. This is about search and seizure. And this amendment constantly gets broken all the time with these like stop and frisks. They even call it search and seizure. They're like not even trying to hide behind it anymore. So the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Shall not be violated. It's in writing right here. I have it in my hand. And no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And so this is where they try to interpret it, where it says probable cause. And so, but they're using it so wrong, like, because in bigger cities, they'll just see someone walking down the street and be like, oh, well, there was probable cause because I felt like they might have had drugs in their pocket because they just stereotyped, and that's what police, not all police, a lot of them do. That's how they get away with it. Oh, probable cause. I saw it poking out of his pocket or something. No, you didn't.
Or a car's driving on a road and they pull him over because they may know that they're, you know, a drug dealer or something, and they didn't do anything wrong.
They weren't doing anything wrong.
Right, and they pull him over and then they start, you know, looking through the car. That's not right either.
That's unconstitutional as well.
Even if he had drugs in the car.
Right. That's if he wasn't doing anything wrong on the road, there was absolutely no reason to pull him over. You're only pulling him over because you know something.
Or you think you know something.
Or you think you know something. They could not even be a drug dealer. You might just think they are.
Right.
And, but it's the most violated right, I think. I've never actually read the exact words of the Fourth Amendment. And so I laughed as soon as I saw shall not be violated. I literally laughed out loud. Okay. Amendment number five. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And that right there, that last piece, is violated constantly. We talked about it one time, the asset forfeiture.
Mm-hmm.
Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And I'm not sure how the public use comes into it, but like say it's money or something that goes to the police department, which is a public service, so you could say it's going to public use.
Right. I think too it could be eminent domain, like they could take your property away because a business wants to build on it.
I hate that.
I know.
Hate that.
And I think maybe that's what, and they're just ignoring it, you know. I don't think government should have eminent domain, but.
So that's about due process and your rights for to be indicted by a grand jury, not by any individual. That's how I interpret that one, is about due process and all that. So Amendment 6, my summary of it is a right to a trial. I believe, is it Amendment 5 or Amendment 6 that is your Miranda rights?
The Miranda rights were added on after, I think.
Well, yeah, but don't they just read one of these?
No.
I don't remember 7th grade history that well.
No. That's not to do with the Miranda rights. I think...
Did they just pull bullet points?
Representation. But the Miranda rights came up because it was named after a guy who got out of trouble. He caused it, but they didn't... I forgot what it was, and then they let him go, and he killed somebody again, so they call him the Miranda rights. But I think they were just, I don't even know if that's an amendment.
No.
Or just a law. But if it was based on that.
I think I felt like somebody, some teacher at some point told us that it was like pulled from the amendments. I don't know. It's blurry.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. But I know the Miranda rights have only been around since like 1950s, somewhere in there.
So Amendment 6, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. So this gives like more detail to the process of the trial. You get, the witness gets to talk with you there, you get a witness, or you get to get witnesses, and you have a trial with an impartial jury, which I don't ever understand, because people are obviously biased.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I just don't understand how you can wipe bias out of naturally biased people. Everybody has a bias.
I think you're born with a certain biased.
We all have an opinion
on any issue.
And I know you're supposed to base it on the facts of the trial and stuff, but there's always just a little bit of bias there. No matter what you do, no matter how you select the jury. Speaking of jury, I just got a letter for jury duty.
You did?
I didn't open it yet, but...
Well, you have to let them know. You have to respond within so many days that you got it.
I'll get to it.
And you don't even know if it's county or town or...
I didn't open it yet.
You better open it.
I'll just tell them that I hate Americans and maybe they won't select me. Try to get out of it.
I just say, hang them. I believe everybody should be hanged.
It's like that Across the Universe movie when the guy's trying to get out of Vietnam. They're like, just tell them you have flat feet. Or they're like, swallow cotton balls. Do X, Y, and Z. Tell them you have flat feet. All right, so Amendment 7, moving on. Oh, did I miss a line? No. Okay, Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. I feel like that's the same thing as 5, where it said you can't be tried multiple times for the same
thing. Double jeopardy.
No wonder why people don't like to read the amendments. No, I like them, but like some of them are confusing.
Well, you ever see that movie Double Jeopardy?
No.
Oh, it was really good.
I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Oh, okay. Morgan Freeman and I can't think of her name now. Her mother's Reba. Anyway, her mother's a country. Judd, whatever her name is. Her mother's a country western singer, Ashley Judd. And she murdered her husband, but it was a setup, and he ended up being alive, and he moved away in that down south and got really rich, and then she was on the run, okay? And then she moved into the same city that he was in, not knowing it was he lived there, and she saw him, and he didn't see her, and she, even the policeman, I think it was, you know, was letting her go, and she ended up killing him, but they couldn't arrest her because they had already arrested her for murdering him in the first time, and you can't have double jeopardy. So,
too bad, so sad.
Good movie.
So we got a little clarification on the Seventh Amendment, because it wasn't clear to me. It means that the trial result is final, so the government can't retry if they don't like the result. It's different than bringing forth the same. Okay. Oh, okay. That makes more sense. So they can't retry it if they're not pleased with how it came out.
That's right.
It's crazy that these are amendments that, like, this obviously happened so much that they felt so strongly to have to put this in here. Mm-hmm. So Amendment 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. This also brings up to me, like, these are going to be my interpretations of my best interpretations of what these things mean. Sure. Because excessive bail, I don't quote me, but I think bail's pretty expensive, right?
I think it's based on the crime.
I'm clearly not a criminal.
No, I mean, if you murdered me and you went up for bail, it might be $1 million or whatever, too. Sometimes they can deny you bail.
I feel like that's excessive.
Yeah, well,
how much
is somebody's life worth? I think that's why a judge determines bail. But then again, if you're arrested for a minor crime, and, you know, it could be like $5,000 bail, $20,000. It depends on the nature.
I feel
nature.
Like that's pretty excessive. I think, like,
but you only have to post a percentage of that. I mean, if you in cash bail, I think that, like, if bail's $5,000, I think you might only have to post a percentage of that as bail.
I wish I was more familiar with, like, the justice system, but
that's why you gotta be an attorney.
It's not important enough to be taught in school, all this stuff. Of course, because it's government run school, as my favorite podcaster calls it, the indoctrination center. So of course they're not going to teach us about the judicial system. Very vague, and I don't like that people get jailed for nonviolent crimes to begin with. And so I would say any bail is excessive for nonviolent crimes, because I don't think you should be jailed for nonviolent crimes. Okay.
Well, you know, one of the things it says that bail is the amount of money defendants give to so that they can get out of prison, and they put that up as collateral.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they ensure that they'll come to court when their court date is. I mean, if they just let you go, you can move to another country, you know, or whatever, and not have to show up to court to answer for the crime. So that's why they impose bail. So you have an investment in going back to court, which you might have to run into if you open up your letter.
Okay, so Amendment 9. This one I have a little note next to. I have my two favorites. This might be my third if I would. Actually, no. I like a lot of them, so I can't really rate them, but this is one that I like. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So, basically, I believe this is saying that, like, kind of like natural rights exist even though they're not specifically mentioned, that you can't just go taking away obvious rights of people. To deny or disparage others retained by the people. That's what I got out of that.
You're probably right.
Let's see. Someone says,
I'm here. The purpose of the Ninth Amendment and just gives crickets. Me the Ninth Amendment. What is the main crickets. Purpose?
Hmm? Crickets. Okay, so that was my interpretation of that. So anyway, Amendment 10, the last amendment of the Bill of Rights. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And this is another one that I like. Like I said, I like a lot of these, and then some of them are not specific enough, and then there's one on here that I just would erase out of the books. But
okay, the Ninth Amendment about enumeration. Okay.
Ninth Amendment, backtracking.
Yeah, it means that you can't use another amendment to cancel one amendment.
But they did that.
What's that?
They had the Prohibition Amendment.
Yeah, but they...
And then canceled it with another amendment.
Yeah, but they, I think when the framers... did the Constitution, they probably didn't think anything of that you could add more amendments. Now the Prohibition, how can I say this? It's confusing. That they added an amendment to the Constitution, a prohibition. It wasn't in the original amendments. So then I don't think you can cancel the 14th Amendment. But if you added...
You could if you got enough people to pass an amendment to cancel that.
I don't think so.
Because they definitely have... The 18th Amendment is prohibition, and then the 21st is the repeal of prohibition.
Right.
So that cancels out 18.
Okay, here's what it says. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people.
So I feel like that's saying that there's rights that people have, and that even though if it's not in the Constitution, they are still rights.
See, this is why it's tough, I think, And when you get into the legal aspect of it, because it says of certain rights, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, was prohibition a certain right that they could overturn? You know what I mean? That they could overturn? But I don't think you could have used an amendment to overturn prohibition to overturn slavery. Mm-hmm. Amendment.
Okay. So let's see here. Somebody says, basically, if the rights aren't expressed in the documents, that doesn't mean that other rights that people decide to discuss are not valid. That's what they say. Okay, so Ninth Amendment, anybody listening, drop down and comment what it means, or your interpretation of what it means, because now I'm interested, because we have multiple things going on here. All right, so back to the 10th Amendment. This is about states' rights. This is my listener Carl's favorite. This is one that I really like. So I'm going to reread it. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. That's so powerful. Or to the people. Okay, so powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. So the federal government, if they have not been given a certain power dictated in the Constitution, then it is up to the state or the people. They can use that. That's where states' rights come in. That's why some states can have things be illegal. Mm-hmm. States, counties, towns, that's we talked about dry towns,
right?
That one time, it's or people can decide, no, I don't want to drink or something. I'll have a self prohibition of alcohol. So I think that's really powerful. And I mean, the government is supposed to be limited to certain powers. They're not. They overstep all the time, but they really don't have that much power dictated to them. Because our founders were afraid of a powerful government.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that gives immense power to states and individuals, and most people don't realize that states' rights is a thing. I don't remember being taught in high school or in middle school much about state rights, actually. And I don't think they realize that the Constitution is telling them that they have a lot of power too, individually.
Mm-hmm.
So more people should read that one.
All right. I got this Ninth Amendment. was driving me crazy after you said nuts. Prohibition. Here's an example of the Ninth Amendment. There's no right to health insurance because that would curtail the freedom of all citizens by burdening them to pay for it.
Right.
So I think you...
So that's where it says, like, there's rights, but only certain rights.
Yes.
You can say that there's rights that aren't specifically in here, but only certain ones that don't infringe on other rights.
Right, because that would infringe on my right. Why should I pay for health insurance if I choose, you know what I mean? So I don't...
Right, although, so there we go. Obamacare.
Obamacare.
Individual mandate, unconstitutional. Bam.
Yep.
In words.
There you go.
So that ties up the Bill of Rights. Moving on. 10 were not enough. There's 27. And so we're going to do as much as possible today. We'll pick up where we leave off today next time. But anyway, number 11. Okay. So the judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States citizens of another state or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state. Okay. So I looked into this one to see exactly what it means. I should have done that for number 9, but I thought I knew what that meant. So this one was just worded a little bit weird, but what I got out of it was that state and federal government can't be sued in. They have sovereign immunity. Is that, I believe that's what it's talking about, sovereign immunity. Let's see here.
11th, right?
Yeah, the 11th Amendment. Sovereign immunity is the legal idea that says a state or a sovereign is immune from any criminal prosecution or civil suit and cannot commit any sort of legal wrong. So they're saying that, like, a state can't do anything criminal, I believe. The idea of state sovereign immunity is reaffirmed in the... That's why I'm reading it. Not only do the states have sovereign immunity, but the federal government also has it as well. This means that unless the federal government waives this immunity or consents to a lawsuit, the federal government cannot be sued. So they have to allow themselves to be sued. I'm not sure that I really like this one. I feel like if I want to sue the government, I should be allowed to.
Yeah. Well, I think, well, I don't know if you can. I mean, that's kind of a tough one because, you know.
So unless they allow it, which means if they're allowing it, they probably think they can win it.
Right.
Which I feel like is a little strange.
Any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state or citizens of any foreign state. The meaning. A lot of the amendments are, I think they wanted things cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And today,
it's so hard with everything that we have become.
Right.
A, with the government. B, just society. And just...
See, I think that's why, like, when they when Justice Kavanaugh was up for review, you know, and they call him a constitutionalist lawyer, or, you know, he was a judge, constitutionalist judge. I think the reason for...
Except for Amendment 4.
Right.
He's not very good with the Fourth Amendment.
With the Fourth Amendment, right.
But nobody is.
But like liberal judges, I think, really look at the Constitution, at the amendments. I think they make decision based on what they think it should be, on idealism. Yeah. And I think constitutionalist attorneys or judges base their decisions on the Constitution.
Well, they should.
They bring, they do, but not all of them do. But I think they use that as a basis. And if you have, if it veers off a little bit, it has to be a good reason why, or it has to be like associated with that amendment. And there are justices that just don't care, you know. I mean, you know, they're more idealistic than constitutionalists.
Yeah, we've seen it a few times. I can't bring up any cases specifically by name, but there have been Supreme Court cases, and then they've been overturned because the ruling was unconstitutional. Our government itself is very unconstitutional in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number 12 is pretty long, and I really want to get to number 13, so I'm just going to skip over 12, and we'll do that next time. But 13 is one that I highlighted. It's the abolition of slavery, and the reason why I chose this one specifically out of the rest is just because of what surrounds that amendment. So if you're not familiar with it, this amendment was passed while the South was not in the Union. Abraham Lincoln did a lot of, first of all, he's kind of a hypocrite because he had slaves himself, but this is just the way the country was going. It just, this is a good amendment. This is a very good amendment, but he did a lot of backhanded things to get this put through. So first of all, he used executive order because it was during the war to put out the Emancipation Proclamation. And he knew that they were going to win the war. And so it's starting to come up towards the end of the war. And he wanted to get this amendment passed because it had already been shot down once. And he wanted to get it passed. He needed to get a few more votes. And he had to do it before they won the war, before the South came in. And A, war would be over, so his executive order would be done for. It wouldn't be in effect anymore. And B, they wouldn't vote for this amendment. So he lost the vote on it the first time. Mm-hmm. So he comes in with it another time, but he did a lot of, he bribed people. He blackmailed people. He, with the bribes, he gave promised favors to people and everything, political favors. I mean, it's everything that politicians do now.
Right.
I mean, if you've seen House of Cards is probably one of the most realistic portrayals of our current government. As crazy as it seems, I believe most of what happens in House of Cards is definitely happening.
Well, it just happened last week with Nancy Pelosi. That lady wanted to run against her for Speaker of the House, and they had a meeting, and she promised her a committee chairmanship if she backed down, and she backed down. I mean, so she's offering favors.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But I just think, and I've, I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen the movie Lincoln?
Yeah.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are some iffy facts in it, but I mean, they do have to make it interesting.
Yeah.
But,
basically it was a good movie.
It had a lot of good history in it. And then there were a few iffy facts, but that happens all the time with movies based on history. Mm-hmm. They do have to over exaggerate and fabricate some things here and there. But, I just think what surrounds this is all interesting. But anyway, okay, let's actually read it. Section 1 of this amendment says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So, however, I could see interpreting this, the involuntary servitude. I feel like jury duty is involuntary servitude. I didn't volunteer for this. I was born into it.
Well, yeah, but you know what? On the other hand,
I don't want to go.
Nobody likes being on a jury. And I think, I don't know, how would you get jurists, you know, if you didn't?
Find people that enjoy
trials. Can't do that.
Yes, you can. There's got to be people love it.
But you have to, the rule, the law is you have to have a speedy trial. So it might take a year for people because nobody, especially today. People.
You just get jurors that do it for a job because they like it.
Nah, they can't do that.
Oh, they can do that. so also involuntary servitude, I guess you could say, we serve our government with our tax dollars, I feel like, because we know most of that's not going to the public. We involuntarily serve the public, quotation marks around public, with our tax dollars. So I could interpret this easily, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't make sense, but I feel like I could interpret it as saying income taxes and voluntary servitude. to the state. Which is funny because there's actually an amendment in here about income tax, about that Congress has the right to collect taxes.
Okay. No, but it wasn't one of the 10, right?
No, we're past the 10.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Right, it's 16.
Yeah.
So anyway, after 13 comes 14, which is right to citizenship. And let's see here. Okay, so all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Section 2. Representatives shall be appointed among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state. So this has to do with, okay, so slavery ended in 13. I'm on section 2 of 14. I decided to go to this and not back to 12 right now because it relates to 13. But representatives have to count the whole number of each person. Before this, representatives, slaves were counted as 3/5 of a person.
I think so, yeah. Some percentage.
3/5. 2/3. We're digging out some really old history out of my head right now. They weren't counted as a whole person, which is absolutely ridiculous because you can't have a partial person.
Right.
It's a person. Anyway, so this gives right to citizenship to anybody born here. And finally makes African American slaves whole people. It absolutely blows my mind that we needed an amendment to recognize human beings as a whole person.
I know.
I mean that's coming from our viewpoint of society now.
Mm-hmm.
Back then that was so normal.
Yeah.
That they needed this.
Now, there's a note on this amendment. It says, Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution was modified by Section 2 of the 14th Amendment. So, see, that amendment,
modified
another amendment, you know?
Okay. But when the right to vote at any election for the choice of electors for president and vice president of the United States, turn the page. Representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants of such state being 21 years of age and citizens of the United States, or in any way abridged, except for participation in rebellion or other crime. The basis of representation therein shall be reduced in the proportion which the number of such male citizens shall bear to the whole number of male citizens 21 years of age in such state. This, like, the longest run-on sentence mm-hmm. ever. That's not true. But this is a very long one, too.
But see where it says male?
Yes. Women don't have the right to vote yet. That's right. Coming up. I think the right to vote comes up next in 15 for mm-hmm. African Americans. And then women don't get the right to vote until 19. I have something here on the 14th Amendment, which I'm still not done reading. But so the 14th Amendment is very important. It defines what it means to be a U.S. citizen. And there are important clauses in this amendment, each of which are still important today. So we did the citizenship one. Once you have American citizenship, it cannot be taken away from you unless you lie to the government during the process to get citizenship. Or if you give it up yourself, which should just be done.
Mm-hmm.
Due process clause. The due process clause protects the First Amendment rights of the people and prevents those rights from being taken away by the government without due process. The Equal Protection Clause, which I may not have gotten to yet. And, okay, let's see here. There may be no no discrimination against citizens by the law. Federal government reinforces this protection on the states, encouraging that they do not. The Equal Protection Clause extended this protection to the state governments. This clause of the 14th Amendment would later be used to end discrimination and segregation in the South. Right, because then we had Jim Crow laws
mm-hmm.
after slavery ended. Slavery didn't really end. It just got, I wouldn't say worse, because it got a little better, but...
A little better, but...
But then discrimination came.
Right.
Like, I mean, they were discriminated on before anyway, but...
Well, the dumbest...
There were laws that allowed it.
Right.
Because craziest they're like, well, if we can't have you as slaves, we're going to treat you terribly in public.
Separate but equal.
That's crazy.
They had to have their own, like, restaurants. They had to have their own... You couldn't drink out of a water fountain that white people drank out of. I mean, they were made citizens, but they didn't have the rights of...
Right, and so that's another case of that government does unconstitutional things all the time. So, because the 14th Amendment... Hang on just a second here. Oh, it didn't give me... A year. Can you pull up a year on the 14th?
That it was passed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Passed by Congress on June 13th, 1866. And
right.
Ratified July 9th, 1868.
So 1868, it was ratified in right. effect. Jim Crow laws ended, I would say, in terms of history, fairly recently.
Probably...
Because remember they had that girl, Ruby?
Yeah.
Who?
In the probably late 50s,
right.
early 60s.
not long ago at all, they deemed it unconstitutional.
Right.
So for years, this went on unconstitutionally. And then someone was like, hey, but the 14th Amendment, if you read it,
right.
this is not right. That.
But yeah, because George Wallace in the 60s, who ran for president, he was governor of, I don't know if it was Alabama, Arkansas. He didn't want to, he wanted to keep the separate but equal. And a lot of the South, a lot of the Southern states were behind him. But, you know, he didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think. He was probably the last state. His was probably the last state to enforce those. So that was back in the 60s. Yeah, Rosa Parks, was it that? The one that had to ride
she
back
did
the bus
thing. Yeah. And that was around the Martin Luther King time. But Ruby Bridges, I think that was her last name, Bridges. I don't know. There's a children's book about this. Her first day at a white school.
That was Medford Cleaveridge. The I remember he was the black the guy that got accepted at a college, and the police had to escort him to classes because they didn't want him in college, and that.
Yeah, this little girl, she was in elementary school, and she was greeted with angry protesters' parents of other children that went there. just saying the most terrible things to her. It's just crazy that society has come so far. I mean, there's still, still deep-rooted discrimination and racism today, but not on this level. People don't understand, not on this level. And definitely not as much as the media makes it out to be, because honestly, the media is just trying to pit us all against each other. But anyway, let's see. So I want to do 12, but I don't want to do it today. We will come back to it next time. So these are going to take probably another episode or two. So I think I'm going to wrap it up there with the amendments for today. After we finish going over amendments, we should read the Constitution.
Let's go backwards.
I know like the preamble of it down pat, only because in chorus in elementary school we had to sing a song that used the preamble of the Constitution, which was pretty interesting. So I never forgot it. But this is good stuff here. I'm going to wrap it up there. And if anybody has any clarification or different interpretations of the amendments that we discussed, please comment them. Or shoot me a message or something. Don't forget, you can always find my shows if you don't know where to find them. Rick has a website, SaratogaBroadcasting.com. He has a page for me there. It's always going to be up to date, more than I'll be up to date because I'm so terrible at this. So that's always going to be up to date with the most latest stuff. I have a Facebook page where I share memes and posts and articles and stuff. I do live videos when Facebook decides to work. iTunes is back up. I'm on Spotify now. All my other podcasting platforms are back up. And I do have a website that I finally put back up. I took it down for construction.
Yes.
I took it down for construction while I was fixing everything, but it's back up now. So lots of things. I do have Twitter. I don't use it. I have Instagram for this show. I don't really use it, but we'll get
there.
But
you have them.
We'll get there. So appreciate you guys listening. I'm going to do some more Christmas shopping, and that's all I got.
All right. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.